Hello and welcome to the Oldie podcast with me, Harry Mount, editor of the Oldie, and I'm delighted to have Mary Killen with me on the podcast this month. Mary is the Spectator's agony aunt and is also half of the Gogglebox team, Giles and Mary, and she's written a fantastic piece for the February issue of the Oldie about facelifts, all the different sort of facelifts you can have, and she, which you'll tell us about in a moment, had a miraculous facelift which involved no surgery at all. But you start your brilliant piece, Mary, by saying people have become much vainer and more self-conscious in the last 30 years. Is that right?
Yes. When I was a child, the most popular girl at school had a brick red face and ginger corkscrew hair. But she was most popular because she was just the most decent girl in the school. Whereas now you have to be beautiful to be the most popular girl at school. It's all to do with people staring at themselves in photographs and in mirrors all the time. And one's personal value is now, for those under a certain age group, very much judged by one's looks and lack of defects.
And as I said, the most famous form of, as it were, age improvement is plastic surgery, but it's bloody terrifying to me. You've avoided it. Why is that?
Because I've had experience of chatting to women and feeling they really dislike me and finding out later they really liked me, but because their faces were frozen, I thought they were disapproving. And the worst experience was when I met a certain well-known political grandee, and I said, "How are you?" And she said, "I've had the most terrible time recently. We were burgled and I was tied up. We were very frightened, but all with a giant grin on her face because her face had been lifted into a permanent rictus of smiling."
You can't say who that is.
Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay, right. So we can't do that. In fact, that's what you refer to, I think, as the Bride of Wildenstein lift after the famous Mrs. Wildenstein in America, who looked like she'd been caught in a wind tunnel.
Yes. It unnerves people. Apparently there are 560 muscles in your face, and we read other people's attitude towards us by these kind of almost subliminal facial movements. So we can't really have a proper relationship. Have a proper relationship with somebody else, an authentic relationship, if our face is frozen. Because one, they think we don't like them, and two, they think, I can't read her, I can't really understand where she's coming from. So much of life is subtlety, isn't it? And little kind of glitches, what are they called? Little kind of twitches on your face signify.
Particularly if you're being, which you are, very funny. So much of being funny is about tiny little hints of expression, aren't they?
I know, eye widening and things like that. But in fact, the young now use emojis to express things, and I'm wondering if they're going to lose the ability to appreciate subtlety. It should be an olden life thing. What was subtlety?
Very good one. So there are non-surgical ways of looking younger, and you list them very amusingly. There's one you suggest, which is facial exercise, which brilliantly gets rid of crepe neck and crinkling. So how does that work?
I think it's pronounced crepe.
Sorry.
So what happens is there's somebody in Kensington Church Street called Eva Fraser, who's 85 but looks 40. She's a testament to her own teachings. Basically, she said, we all exercise our bodies, but we don't exercise our face and neck. And in order to keep all the sort of pouching and, creping and wattling that naturally comes after a certain age, we need to spend 7 minutes a day in front of a mirror pulling faces. She prescribes the exercises, but most of us are too lazy to do them.
And actually, that would be rather good for what we're talking about, powers of expression and little hints with one's cheekbones. But too lazy to do that. Then there's the very simple one of the so-called Neasden facelift. Can you explain that?
That is when you tie all your hair back into a tight ponytail and you get a temporary facelift like that. You know, you stretch your whole sort of face back. I think it does work quite well. But you still have the problem of the neck. Now, I'm afraid that no matter what the top of my cheeks and forehead and everything look like, I still do have crepe neck. However, that can be masked off either with a scarf or, for emergencies, I take a tip from my friend Anne, who, when she has a bus pass made for her senior bus pass, clips her neck back with a bulldog clip just for the photo. She says it's worth the agony just for the moment. Makes a big difference, actually.
Quite extreme, but only temporary. And then there's the actually quite enjoyable technique of gorging, or, as you also call it, le visage avant le derrière. Can you explain that one?
Well, it's absolutely true that if you give up on trying to have a a sort of shapely figure and just eat, then at least your face is pleasant, even if your body is too bulky. But, you know, that works for the arms, everything. You know, when you get too thin after a certain age, you do have that scrawny look, which isn't attractive.
And actually particularly prevalent now, actually among the young as well, this desperation to be thin often actually does produce a sort of accidental aging effect, doesn't it?
I know, that's rather sad. The dehydration as well. At my daughter's school, they had a very good policy, which was if you went below 7 stone, you were sent home. So they made sure they didn't.
Oh, really? Yeah, how clever, yeah. And then there's another one, the yoga headstand. How does that work?
Well, that works by redistributing blood to your head, because normally gravity sort of pulls everything downwards. If you stand on your head for a bit each day, it sort of redresses the balance. Yoga is, of course, fantastic. I remember the late Candida Lysett Green. I remember seeing her when she was about 65 without crepe neck, and I said to her daughter, how has Candida done it? What's her secret? And she said, oh, don't ask her to give her secret. But I think it was yoga. She did salute the sun every day, she told me herself.
But you decided against this, why?
Laziness.
Oh, yes, again, yeah. But, and as readers will see in the miraculous photo of you, you had a fantastic youthening effect from facial massage. Now, can you explain that?
Well, a friend of mine said, look, Lucinda Wallop is in a basement in Chelsea doing this incredible face massage. Why don't you go along and have a go? So I went to her rooms, lay in a lovely, although it was a basement, it was sunny. It was a sunny basement, and I lay on a bed, and she, as a therapist, has learned this technique called Yuva, Y-U-V-A. And all I know is that I lay there, and I went into, she just stroked my face in a certain way.
Not particularly aggressively?
No, in a pleasant way, without oils or roughness of any kind. It was just this kind of hypnotic stroking. And allegedly, she redistributed things in my face and allowed oxygenation to take place and toxins to flow out or something. Anyway, the fact was, afterwards, I looked much better. And, you know, if I were Mrs. Trump, I think I'd have her living in to do it every day.
And I think you described your daughter Posy seeing you afterwards and being...
And screaming, Mum, what's happened? You look much better.
That is certainly true. You always look lovely, but you do look wrinkle-free in the picture you took afterwards. How long did that last for?
I don't know, 2 weeks or something like that.
Amazing.
I've made up a good joke, Harry.
Mm-hmm,
You've
on.
Heard of a coup de vieux?
Yeah.
I had a coup de mieux.
There it is, brilliant.
Mm.
That's absolutely brilliant. And have you found, particularly with your newfound fame in the telly business, that actually these things matter much, much more? That, as you said, didn't matter in your youth what you look like your friend with the ginger hair, but actually being in telly means these things are much more important.
Well, the thing about Gogglebox is that I realised after a couple of weeks they don't care what you look like. The viewers just want to feel that you're watching telly with them and you're exactly as you would be if you weren't being filmed. And they like you to be authentic. So if I've got dried toothpaste on my face or something, You know, nobody would mention that to me because that's how I would be naturally. But sometimes they do a horrendous close-up in which I almost scream when I see. But nobody can stand up to a huge HD close-up. Yeah. You know, everyone looks
absolutely... Tom Cruise has just been complaining about it today.
Has he?
Don't watch my films on HD. Yeah. But do you think it makes you more self-conscious? I've been with you in a supermarket where this strange thing happens, standing in the fruit and veg aisle, suddenly two people start whispering, saying, it's her, it's her. Mm. And people go up to you in jars the whole time. Does it make you more self-conscious about
I sort of feel I'm beyond the age where I might be trying to sort of attract people to fancy me. I just want to look as sort of... I don't want to look too hideous, that's really all. But I want to... I just want to look kind of as pleasant as possible. I'm not really vain, but obviously I am... I am vain, I suppose. I am. I would love nothing more than to be in the position Mrs. Trump's in and have an army of therapists creaming on... massage unguents all day and that sort of thing, lubricating me, drinking water all day. You know, you really should be drinking a litre of water a day to make yourself hydrated. There's so many things I could be doing, but there simply isn't time. But the thing I've realised is that nobody actually cares what you look like. They only care what they look like. So that's a great truth in life. And in fact, it can work against you in popularity terms if you look too good. People are amazed by it. I can think of a few women I know, but they're jealous rather than...
Of course they are, yes. And what's Giles's beauty regime? Because actually he does look preternaturally young. Is he actually secretly quite vain?
Giles is very well rested, and that explains why he's so wrinkle-free. He's never had any stress to speak of, except when
he's stressed, but...
when he's looking for his keys or something, that's about all. Or the dog's lead. But most of the time, he's not being stressed. And, of course, he doesn't come to London much, so he doesn't get any of that, you know, toxic air or anything. He's outside most of the time.
Well, I think that's a very good place to stop, and I'm very grateful to Mary Killen for her brilliant article in the February issue of The Oldie and for her podcast. Thanks so much.